my friend with us. Amen. Brother and Sister Holguin, they preached here in the past, last year, I think, at the same time, wasn't it? Amen. They were here, and they're going to be here in our Spanish service a little bit later on this afternoon. They were here for their Spanish conference in South Bend, and I imposed upon him to come and speak one more time. He's been a pastor. He's evangelized. He's the Indiana director for Spanish ministry. He was Louisiana's director for Spanish ministry. The man has a very, very deep well, and we're very thankful for his experience in ministry. Amen. And he has been, I couldn't even describe in a few moments what a positive impact he and his lovely wife have had on the Indiana district and our Spanish ministry. I'm so thankful, amen, that you allowed us to choose you to serve Spanish ministry. You've done an excellent job, and I'm very thankful. Amen. Would you give him and the Lord a great big hand as he comes to speak to us today? Amen. God bless you, my friend. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I don't know, but I feel something special here today. That song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful," even when I wasn't serving God. But you see, faithfulness was demonstrated on this earth by our mothers that we celebrate today. I don't have my mom. All I have are memories of my mom. And I cherish those memories. But you know, she's been gone since 1989. But whenever I walk into those places that she used to be at church, and I still, I'm going to hear mom's voice one more time. We are a blessed people to have mothers in our lives. Amen. Where do you run to when you fall and hurt yourself? You run to mom. I know dads are there too, but hey, today's mom's day. And I don't know, but can you sing that, darling, that chorus again? All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been faithful.
Think about the words.
All my life you have been so.
Think about your
so
mom.
So good. With every breath that I am in,
we wouldn't be here.
Who I will say.
Without somebody in our lives.
Of God.
That prayed for us. When we were wayward, lost without God. Oh my life you have been so good.
With every breath that I am in,
oh, I would sing of the goodness. Amen. It was mom that prayed. Because you see, I come from a dysfunctional family. Mom was divorced at a young age. She had two kids. Myself as the oldest and my brother. She remarried years later, but all I knew is mom walked to work. And as a kid, you don't don't comprehend those kind of things. But she was there. Even though we didn't have much, we have Mama's love and her prayers and her devotion. Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but next to God, Mom's her. Right there, what can I say? Amen. If you have your Bibles, and it's an honor to be here in Elkhart. Amen. And the kind words of your pastor. Amen. And we're here for one purpose, and that's to serve the King. And as we serve Him, we are servants to each other. Amen. We're called, we may be called by pastors or evangelists or whatever, but we're still a servant. Amen. If we forget that, we're in trouble. Because you see, when you forget that you're a servant, you try to build your own kingdom. No, it's His church. It's His kingdom. Amen. And I have to. I'm a servant. Amen. So if you indulge me this morning, or still this morning, yes, it is. I want to preach about my mom. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What if man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Like Brother Johnson, young Brother Johnson said, there are a lot of things in this world that are vying for your attention. Your iPhones, your cell phones, your iPads, computers. And your child is pulling on your, Mommy, Daddy, I need this, I need that. We need to reprioritize our lives. Our families are the most important thing in this world. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother and Sister Johnson, thank you so much. You're a great couple. Amen. And then your children, your grandchildren, oh, amen, amen. Oh, it makes you proud. You know, stick your chest out, man. You know, wow. Tell the person next to you, you're special. And you are a fulfillment of a dream. Have you ever thought of you being here today? Have you ever regressed and thought about the people that came before you? Have you thought of your ancestors? Have you thought back? Well, let's go back 12 generations. 12 generations are 400 years, and you're here. Somebody had to be born. Somebody had to go through a trial. Somebody had to fight. Somebody had to cry. Somebody had to scrape. Somebody went through misery. Somebody went through joy. Some people went through pain. We don't know what our ancestors went through. But it took 4,094 of them for me to be here today. For you to be here today. Amen. So you see, we are a fulfillment of their dreams. Because they had dreams. They had dreams. Manuela Carrasco Olguin Barraza was my mom. She was born But let me regress. My title is simply hyphen. She was born March 2nd, 1927. Hyphen. She died at an early age, November 19th, 1989. Her life was short. She was 62, and she went to her heavenly reward. She was my mom, and this is her story through my eyes. I'm the oldest, but I want to preach about that hyphen. I want to preach about your hyphen, my hyphen. You see, we're still today, here today. But the hyphen is the story that we write every day. Every day we're writing on that hyphen. She bore 9 children. She lost 3 as preemies. In 1950, at 23 years old, she received the gift of the Holy Ghost at an Assembly of God church. Back then, they looked just like Pentecostals. They had holiness standards. They believed in the Holy Ghost for special people. If you got it, then you were special. But she, in turn, won her parents. My grandfather worked for the railroad. There were 3 other of the co-workers that worked with him. These 3 co-workers were married, and all those three combined with the moms and their kids were 25 souls. It was through the efforts of that small congregation, mom and my grandparents, holding church in a mechanic's garage next door to my grandfather's house. The mechanic's garage in those days didn't have concrete. It was dirt. And also became my bedroom for a short time. Me, my mom, and my little brother. On Wednesday evening, we would have Bible studies. I'm preaching about her hyphen that I saw with my own eyes. We were in a prayer meeting. Little speaker that was there teaching. They made some benches out of 1x4s. Any of y'all remember those 1x4 benches? Well, we were sitting in front, grandma, grandpa, mom, and me and my brother and their family, all of them in front. In those double doors, we're sitting there as kids, young kids, and we just couldn't be. I mean, I was only four and a half. We just couldn't sit still. I mean, we're kids. But mom is there, and grandpa's there, and grandma, and they're paying attention to the preacher as he's speaking the word of God. And all of a sudden, those double doors just flung open. And everybody just, wow. And all of a sudden, recognition came to this boy. I know these people. I know that man and that woman. That's my aunt and uncle. But in their arms, they're holding a little baby. And they're crying. And they're yelling, my baby's dead, my baby's dead. Oh, my eyes just got, you know, what's going on? What's happening? That minister turned and took that baby. And he put it in mom's arms. And I'm sitting there. And all he did was laid his hand on that baby's head. That baby had been dead for over an hour. Because, you see, they took her to the little hospital in that little town, and they said, well, she's dead. You can't do that. I said, no, she's not. So they drove to another city about 20 miles away, and same prognosis, she's dead. Leave her. No. but they came to church. That's the only time I remember them coming to church. They had a need. That little preacher just laid his hand on that child. Alicia by her name is her name. And he said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke death. When he said, I rebuke death, that baby coughed and came back to life. God is still in the miracle working business. That was, man, I'm 77. I was 4 years old. You deduct the math. I'm not going to go through that. My brain can't compute that. But all that I've carried in my life, through mom's eyes, through what she did with her family, that cousin that was raised back to life had a family of her own. She married, lives in Houston. But that was mom's hyphen. Her priorities were her children. She loved God. She loved souls. She was a worshiper. She was a soul winner. She was a prayer warrior. She even talked to angels. She talked to God like I'm talking to you every day. What a hyphen. What a hyphen. Jesus Christ was born the year 4 BC. For a short 33 and a half years, he lived on this earth. But oh, what a hyphen that the Lord gave us. What a hyphen that the church would be endued with power from on high to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. But you see, not all of us can go to the world, but our own bedroom, our own life, our own home, our own neighborhood is our field of labor. What will a man give for his soul? If he gained the whole world and lose his children, what is he willing to do? My children are the most important thing in this world. My grandchildren are the most important thing in the world. That stranger is the most important person in this world. But Jesus Christ came out to take a people out for his name's sake. I don't know about you, but that's awesome. That no, I'm a child of God. I'm not only John Hogan and not only that the government knows my security number and that's all they know. They don't know, they don't care about my name, but they know my number. But God knows me personally because you see, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and so is yours. He came to build a church, a bride, a people that would be separated for his name. I was at Mount Carmel, and it is a hill, and they celebrate that up there. They got a big old bronze figure of different things, and they got the prophet with a sword, and he's going to whack the heads off those false prophets. It was an experience to walk there and to see what the Bible and Brother Johnson talked about. And all that come back to me and say, wow, I'm living it right now. Thousands of years have gone on. And I'm standing on the spot where this happened in 1 Kings. That's amazing. You see, Jesus Christ, for the purpose of his life was to come and to give his life for you and I. He prepared 12 men to do wonders and miracles, all good things for the people. That we are to be about the Father's business. Many of us have traditions. In Mexico, they celebrated Friday as Mother's Day. And we did celebrate here in the U.S. So many different cultures in this world. And we need to try to understand each other. For one, you know, I'm an American. I was raised in America. I was born in America. I'm American. But I come from a part of Texas where it didn't matter if you were born in Texas, you're still Mexican. Well, how can I be a Mexican if I'm born in Texas? My birth certificate, Pastor Johnson, it says Mexican. And I'm 200 miles from the border. Ah. We had a house fire in 2011, and all my documents were burned. And I sent for another, you know, it says born, Texon, Texas, raised Mexican. I called them lady back. I said, hey, is Texon, Texas in Mexico? He said, no. I said, well, why did you still carry me as a Mexican? I wasn't born in Mexico. And he said, well, you got to pay to change it. I said, oh. So technically, I'm still a Mexican. But I only have 2% Mexican in me. DNA is amazing. I'm more Native American and French in Spanish than Mexican. It's amazing. But the beauty of it, on that hyphen, is that now I have been bought with a price. Blood was shed for my sin. Blood was shed for your sin. And that blood covers all the sin of humanity. We need to take not only the historical Jesus, but we need to take that relational Jesus to this world, because that's what he wants. Praise the Lord. His purpose on this life, that he came to this life, is for us to take the gospel to the world. I'll never stop saying it. We plant churches. We start daughter works. We do this, we do that. Hey, but it's for souls. It's the kingdom, hallelujah, to add souls to his kingdom. Praise the Lord. That whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Acts chapter 15 and 14 says, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name's sake. I don't compare to this character in Acts chapter 10. His name was Cornelius. He was a Gentile. I don't know about you, but in certain parts of the world, Gentiles were considered like a dog in other cultures. But we have this certain man named Cornelius. He's a centurion. In fact, he has 100 men that are under his authority. He says, go, and they go. He says, come, and they come. Authority, leader of men. But all the qualifications, I'm talking about the hyphen. But he was devout. He feared God. He gave alms. He fasted. He prayed always to God. And he came up to a memorial before God. And God sinned. His man to preach the gospel to these people. What an explosion. What an explosion. to allow, hallelujah, what the scripture says, that started in Jerusalem, in Samaria and Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world, to include the Gentiles, you and I, to be partakers of the heavenly. Oh man, that it to me is so amazing, praise God, because it doesn't matter where you come from or what you look like. All that matters is your soul is to populate heaven, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Peter arrives. Woo. And those of the circumcision with him. And the house is full of people. In your mind, can you just think, full of people. Did he have all his 100 men there? Did he have the neighbor there? Did he have the stranger there? I believe he did. Because your reputation follows you, my friend. And this man had a pretty good reputation. But God arrived on the scene. But he needed a man. He needed somebody to speak for him. And he still needs a man today or a woman today to speak for him. Amen. Amen. He needs somebody to go lay hands on the sick that they shall recover. He needs somebody to be in there and teach a home Bible study. He needs somebody there to take them out to McDonald's. He needs somebody there to be the difference, to make that person understand that, hey, I'm loving you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a hyphen Cornelius had. What a hyphen. Our kids are watching us today. What are we putting in them? I didn't know two of my grandfathers. I didn't know one of my grandmothers. They died way before I was born. But when one grandma, she was a French lady. She was a Jacques. She was a tall woman. And she was the third wife of my grandfather. She bore 6 children. And she died young. Knew her name was Angelica. And one of my cousins, older cousins, said, John, or I'm sorry, I'll take it back. One of my aunts. There were 3 families. My grandfather married 3 times, and all his wives died. But the second wife, 2 of the daughters lived, and they were pretty old when I started to visit them. But one of them took out a Bible, and she said, John, this is your grandmother's Bible, and I want you to have it. And it was a Catholic Bible. And it's Pentecostal. I look at it, you know. And immediately I went to Acts 2:38. Well, it reads just like my Bible. But the thing about it, it was circled. And it was underlined. And I'm thinking, maybe, just maybe, Grandma Angelita had something. I'm talking about the hyphen of our descendants, the hyphen that we make today, the hyphen that our kids are making today. Hallelujah. Because you see, the day that I die, that hyphen is going to end. But hey, while I have breath, I'm going to be adding to that hyphen good things. Good things. Positive things. Jesus Christ, the church, the blood that he died for us. We have to add to it to make a difference in this life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what a holy roller was. We were raised with holy rollers. Yes. And I was the only kid in high school. And I didn't have the Holy Ghost, guys and young ladies. But I used to sing with the youth choir. I used to go to the conferences. But I didn't have the goods yet. But you see, when they said holy rollers, I was ashamed. I didn't want to be considered weird. You know? But you see, it's all about what's being put in the hyphen. That's the important thing. Hallelujah. What is our hyphen? What is our family? What is our children saying about us? Brother Johnson was so kind and described some words that he was saying. You know, I didn't add those to, they added those to my hyphen. Amen. But you see, I had to come to the point that that hyphen included to being born again. That hyphen had to include that I had to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had to obey the apostles' doctrine. I had to be faithful. I had to love God. I had to love family. I had to love the church. I had to love people and give my time and my money and whatever else. I want to be just like my mom. I want to be like my grandparents because, see, they laid something beautiful out before us. Amen. And we choose if we want to follow in those steps and build on those good things. I want my hyphen to say he was a Christian. But that hyphen had to include the new birth. Amen. I was third generation Pentecostal. I went to Vietnam in 1969. 6 weeks after I got there, all of a sudden, the sirens go off and missiles and bombs start boom, 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 boom. And the military trains you to react. Even though you're asleep, you react. That morning, about 4:30 in the morning, I have a piece of metal at the house that I have saved since 1969 till now. That piece of metal came through the foot of my bed. And it stuck up here on my towel that I had hanging, my bath towel. But you see, your training tells you when the explosions are happening, even in your subconscious, while you're dead asleep, you roll out of bed. If I hadn't rolled out of bed, I wouldn't be here today. Because, Brother Johnson, that piece of metal would have gone right through my head. I told my wife, send me a Bible. She did. But you see, that scare only lasted about 3 months. I had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I had to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But you see, my steps were ordered of the Lord because I had somebody that was praying for me. I had somebody that was laying every day and praying, God, keep that boy. He was raised in church. He knows your word. He's got to be saved, Lord. He's got to be, amen, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Save him, Lord. Watch over him. That's the hyphen of my ancestors. Well, you see, all of us, I don't care what culture you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care who we are. We are all invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I think we're going to have all kinds of food there. I like good Cajun cooking. Crawfish etouffee over blackened fish. I like Texas barbecue. I love Mexican food. I love Greek food. But the table is spread, the table is set, and I choose to be part of that new Jerusalem. What is your hyphen going to say about you today? Is it going to say that I received the gift of the Holy Ghost? That I repented of my sin, that I was baptized in water in Jesus' name? That I received the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking in other tongues? For you see, one day we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. One day we're going to thank him for his saving grace. I want to hear him say, well done, my faithful servant. I want my name be spoken. I want to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be part of the chosen ones. We are a grafted people. We were, at times, we're not a people. We didn't have much, but God was merciful. But now we are a chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you show forth the praises of him who died and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I don't know. But in my humanity, I want to think that Jesus Christ was dreaming about each one of us here today. Dreaming that one day that dream would come to fulfillment. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through today. But I choose to be on the Lord's side. I choose to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Salvation is free. It doesn't cost you anything. Well, let me rephrase that. All it costs you is for you to get out of that pew and to come to an altar and repent of your sins. That's it. How many of you ladies like bargains? I think every lady likes a bargain. Guys like bargains too. What better bargain can you get than to give him your sins and he gives you eternal life? Let's stand. This church is here for a purpose. We gather here to pray, to fast. We gather here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather here and we bring others so they can have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about filling that hyphen. To fill that story every day. That Jesus will say, enter in, my faithful servant. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. This altar is open, my friend. Come have an encounter with your Savior today. His name is Jesus, and he wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to say, I love you. Don't carry your burden alone. He says, put your burden on me. You have been so, so good. Every day that I am able. the goodness. Jesus. Come on, church. Be a catalyst for somebody else. Let your hyphen portray all my life. He has been faithful through every situation, through every trial, through every victory. Been so, so good with every breath that I am able. Oh, it's time for you to sing of the goodness. Oh, bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Lord, for all those 4,094 that came before me. Thank you, Lord, for they showed a way. Thank you, Lord, for our moms and our grandmas and our great-grandmas. All these folks that guided us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's worship.